This episode of The Slow Good Life is brought to you by Dr. Yolanda Lapidus and the Lapidus Clinic, providing concierge medical services for the California Central Coast. With medical offices located in Avila Beach, California, check them out online at slotlc.com and at Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Or call them today at area code 805-549-4825. Welcome to another episode of The Slow Good Life. James Davis here with Craig Marshall at Slow Talk Studio.
Ready for another great edition of The Slow Good Life, and we have a really interesting guest today, James.
We sure do. We have in the studio with us today Dr. Yelena Lapidus of the Lapidus Clinic.
Hello. Thank you for having me here. I'm really excited to be on your beautiful talk show. I heard a lot about it. I know a lot of my patients and friends follow it, and it's just an honor to be a guest.
It's great to have you, Dr. Lapidus. I had met you a couple of years back and actually had an opportunity to come down to the Lapidus Clinic in Avila Beach. And there's been some developments, and there's also been, we were talking a little bit before the podcast, it's fascinating how with anything people will use a certain terminology. And I think for our listeners, one of the things on the website is concierge medicine and the Lapidus Clinic.
Right.
Would you help us to understand a little bit about what that means in your practice?
Absolutely. Exactly. 2 years ago, we were just developing that new concept I created and bringing it to reality. And my philosophy is to provide very comprehensive, personalized care to patients in a settings of just formal insurance-based family practice. It's close to impossible. Mm-hmm. So I had a dream, and I was always thinking, all right, well, next year, I really going to transfer everything in a different type of practice, and I'm going to develop a spot where people from our beautiful area and people from all over the world and United States would come and benefit from my knowledge. And that's how the Lapidus method was developed. And 2.5 years ago, we first opened door to the Lapidus Clinic, or Slow TLC.
I like that. The acronym for TLC, the Lapidus Clinic, but also Tender Loving Care.
Tender Loving Care.
And so you mentioned that you had a dream for several years, but looking back, were you in more of a traditional practice approach with some constraints and limitations?
Of course. Limitations are multiple, you know. Yeah. You only paid for 10, 15 minutes with a patient. You need to run your practice fast. You need to be fast and very efficient to survive in practice because of insurance reimbursement for primary care being minimal, mm-hmm. and just based on reactive care, taking care of disasters, fast prescriptions. Mm. My education comes from many areas and many parts of medicine. I started as a gynecologist. I had a lot of interest in infertility treatment and knowledge in hormonal therapy. When I came to US, I took a path of family practice because it was more comprehensive and included some of a gynecology in it.
And about how long ago was that? What kind of a time frame?
Right. I immigrated to the United States from Russia in 1996.
Okay.
It took me some time to relicense. I have worked different jobs in healthcare and outside. And in 2002, I started family practice residency in rural areas of the Valley, and it was supervised by University of Davis, UC Davis.
Okay.
And shortly after that, opened practice, solo family practice with affiliation with Adventist Health System in Sonora.
Oh, yes.
I practiced that there for a couple years. And I was always looking for the area where I can concentrate on being outpatient and do less admissions and actually work on prevention of admissions to the hospitals.
Now, prevention because of your background. I mean, just reading about your degrees and your training, it's very diverse.
Correct.
But you as an individual, I take it you like to read and study.
Yeah, I am constant
always
student.
Learning, right?
Always learning, yeah. That's
okay.
Right, Greg. Yes, absolutely. So as I was, as soon as I finished residency, which was very challenging, it's basically just going from gynecology specialty in a very broad knowledge of medicine in family practice, where you take care of newborns, kids, adults, aging population. You in preventative care, and I also was doing deliveries of the babies, OBGYN, and maternity house always was my big passion.
And of course, when you're working with fertility, it's couples.
It's couples.
It's not just one partner.
Absolutely.
And all the dynamics. So I would imagine that the assessment abilities of not only interviewing one partner, but the other partner and the stories, this
right.
must have just fueled your appreciation for this type of approach.
Right. And it shaped my current practice.
Not just for fertility, though.
Not just for fertility.
Okay.
Not just for fertility. It shaped my common practice, current practice, where I'm working with whole families. Mm. We have a family package of being in TLC. We have a family package, and sometimes we have family of four or five and kids somewhere East Coast or traveling Europe, and just I see them or once every quarter, but I really in connection with them whole year long. It's beautiful.
Why Avila Beach? I mean, I'm asking that somewhat rhetorically because I've been there and I love it. But we may have people listening today that are somewhat familiar with the Central Coast or not at all. And they go, Avila Beach? Why Avila Beach?
As my son was starting elementary school, and I was dreaming for him as well for my family, I started to see that his future probably going to be in biotech or computer engineering, and he was playing roller hockey at the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids from Sonora, where Nick was in elementary school and playing roller hockey, would come to Cal Poly because they have the strongest roller hockey team.
Really?
And have a very, very, very good program for computer engineering and engineering in general. And I was still hoping in my mind that Nick might go to medical school, maybe. And
Maybe not.
But it just was, you know, as a parent, you want your kids always follow your footsteps.
Yeah.
And they have a very strong biology, biochemistry, pre-med department. So I actually came to this area looking for a job, and as I was visiting, I fell in love with San Luis Obispo. And, you know, my dream, another dream came through.
Now, about how long ago was that you discovered?
That was in 2008. And I met a beautiful, beautiful individual. I met Ron Yukelson at the time. He was a business development director at Sierra Vista Hospital, Tenet Health.
Well. Yes.
Yes. And he facilitated my whole transition into the area as a professional.
Wow.
And Tenet was my mother hospital who supported me first year in my practice and helped me to open my solo practice. And I'm very grateful for community and Tenet Health Foundation, and specifically to Ron, because he helped me all the steps on the way. But it's impossible not to love San Luis Obispo. So much to do. It's how one of my nurses who I worked with said that the most beautiful paradise to raise your child. Absolutely true.
Yes.
That was so easy.
You were thinking about your child and his needs. So you came for that heart intention and then personally fell in love with it and everything
right.
just continued to grow. Non-GMO, I might add.
Non-GMO.
Fully organic growth.
Fully organic, just with a lot of happy intentions and kind intentions for community, for yes. patients, and for my family, of course.
Did your son go to Cal Poly? Well,
that's where my dream came through.
Okay.
He was accepted as a fast track while he was in the last year of high school. He traveled to Anti-Aging and Regenerative Congress with me, and we met a lot of biomedical engineers there. And when we were flying back, he was like, oh, mom, I just really, 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 really want to stay in that program. He applied to biomedical engineering program. Wow. And that day we came back from that Congress, he got a letter of acceptance.
Oh, congratulations.
So he's starting his senior project next year with Cal Poly. And I wish we just call Cal Poly and talk to them about how my clinic can be a playground for the students who are going into the regenerative health, biomedical engineering, and maybe Absolutely. Artificial intelligence, data communication, and use my clinic as a place where they can finish their senior projects.
Cal Poly is learn by doing, and what better way than a hands-on experience? That is, this podcast will get a lot of listeners, and it may focus some students your direction, Dr. Lapidus, with that opportunity.
Right.
Hey, the clinic also obviously is all about personalized medicine for the individual, which starts with the brain, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, we all unique, and the most unique part of our body is our brain. We do 19 lead QEG, which provide us with a beautiful color map of our brain in all spectrum, with green being normal, or what we call normal average. We compare it to database created in the United States by many universities, in all spectrum to red being on in overdrive, and blue not powered enough. And I never seen two brains look alike. But it's a beautiful technology we use to baseline our brain function. You would not see it on MRI report unless it's a functional MRI and very expensive. You will not see it on CT scan. But you can see actually 4D picture, because we're doing it in voxels. It's electrical term, but also in a time as you're thinking, mm-hmm. as you're having a conversation or working on your brain in the neurofeedback.
You can see that in real time.
It's a part of the method, yes.
And so this piece of the assessment, the complete 19-point assessment, this is one of the first and primary steps?
Yes. So the whole method, we called it concierge care, so my patients would also understand that I will provide them very unique personalized care for as long as they're staying with me. They will have urgent care covered. They have my cell phone. They can text me if there are any urgent care. We see them the same day, or if it's happening in the evening and it's not a situation when they need to be in the ER, I can see them right next morning, or I will take care of them right there on the spot. I have access to records 24/7. But main thing in that clinic was functional medicine steps of evaluating our whole body through the all baseline testing, starting with 19 lead QEG and a brain map, and going to your heart and test and lungs and digestive system and weight support and preventative discussion of the diet and exercise. And we have image support team, and we have behavioral therapy team.
Hey, I've got a question about the hyperbaric chamber that you have at the clinic. For our listeners that don't know, what would be the major benefits for the chamber, the hyperbaric chamber?
That's very well known and very old methodology. Hyperbaric chambers is a chambers where you can go under pressure, or what we call it, dive at a certain depths. If you would be diving in the ocean, for example. The whole goal is to increase the pressure of oxygen around you, which allow to push oxygen in tissue which not supplied by the blood flow. So you can bring oxygen deep in the brain, which is ischemic, heart, which is ischemic, and wounds. Let's say people with diabetes who do not have circulation in their legs and the feet would develop an ulcer, and it can get infected, and that's the main reason for diabetic limb loss. So all of this can be, if caught in time, reversed and treated fast if you go into hyperbaric chamber. I learned about this technology when I was in Russia, and my family, my grandpa had a diabetes and he had a wound, and the option was either to try the treatment with hyperbaric or amputate his leg. And we were able to save his leg.
With the treatment, the hyperbaric
treatment. The hyperbaric chambers are in every single big hospital in Russia. It's part of treatment of surgical complications. Here, I was a big proponent and big supporter of Obispo Hyperbaric of SLO. Those are my good friends who brought the chambers first in the family to treat a family member, and then eventually decided to make this treatment modality available for community. And when I was opening the Lapidus clinic, I thought it's very important to have that technology. And of course, I didn't want to compete with my friends. So we gave a call, Michael and Sylvana, and say, hey guys, we have extra couple rooms. Do you want to do it together? Michael and Sylvana always wanted to be a part of some kind of functional medicine clinic, and it worked beautifully for both parties.
You were able to integrate them in, in the business.
Right. And in my clinic, in functional and anti-aging medicine, it's a push for stem cell release. So if you go in the hyperbaric chambers regularly for a certain depth and repeat it several times, you're able to increase your stem cell release from just regular what you usually have. 100 points forward. So
beyond. Mm-hmm. So for our listeners, the website is lapidusclinic.com.
Right.
LAPIDUS clinic.com. Is that correct?
No, it's a slow TLC. SLOTLC.com.
That's the easy one to get to.
Yes. Search that. Uh-huh.
I love that. So we're going to say that again. Slow, SLOTLC.com. Very simple.
SLOTLC.com.
But there is another website, a longer one?
Right, it's my name. And it's just I was not very creative and so long. And for somebody who doesn't know me, it's very hard. It's YelenaLapidusMD.com.
And now, Dr. Lapidus, for listeners that go, I have checked out your site, but I want to go get some more information about holistic medicine, medicine that takes a lot of things into account. Do you have certain sites that you like to refer people to for some information or some reading?
Absolutely. I am a big supporter, and I'm actually ambassador of Dr. Stephen Gundry. Stephen Gundry is a cardiovascular surgeon.
G-A-N-D-R-Y?
G-U...
Gundry. G-U-N-D-R-Y. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Gundry.
Yeah, he recently published another book, which is well-received and very helpful for me as a tool when I recommend diet to my patient. Uh-huh. And it's a longevity paradox. Very good read. Really like it. I like Dr. Walter Longo. Dr. Longo is a director of longevity and regenerative medicine and at one of the major universities in California. He published the book Longevity Diet.
I really like what I'm hearing. When I hear a doctor talk about longevity, they got my attention. I want 30 to 40 more years. I think we're talking to the right person, Craig. I think we can glean some stuff from Dr. Lapidus. And Dr. Lapidus, you grew up in which part of the Soviet Union?
I was born in Kuybyshev. Now it's Samara. It's a central Russia. It's almost a border in between European and Asian, Siberian part of Russia. It's a big university. We have 11 universities in one
11.
City.
Oh, wow.
It's about a million people city, and it's a lot of industry. In that city, my father was an educator, principal of aerospace engineering college, and my mom, she was a doctor, gynecologist. She was my professor in my medical school, teaching me my surgical techniques.
And so a good first early medical training was in the Soviet Union, but when you came over, you continued training and residency in the United States.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear the story about how that all evolved. So you graduate from the OB-GYN residency in Russia.
Correct.
And you came to UC Davis. How did that evolve? Had you come to America and visited before? Or?
I came to America as a tourist, and I fell in love with a beautiful boy. And that was a very romantic story. And eventually I just got married and came to the country to live here and decide if we're going to live here or actually come back, we'll go back to Russia. My ex-husband was a military. He was reconnaissance with Marine with in the Department of Navy, mm-hmm. and Navy facilitated my green card. So I'm a legal immigrant, and then several years later, I was able to naturalize myself, and now U.S. citizen.
Congratulations.
Right, but that was a very beautiful story. We started our family in on a military base, and Nick was born in 29 Palms, California.
Okay, just down the road. Right. We right. know where that's at. Of all the places you've visited, is there a close second to Avila Beach and the Central Coast?
Nothing. Well, Nice. The Nice, Riviera France.
Southern France.
Yes.
That's where my family came from, that
really?
Area. Piemonte, Italy. And
Yeah, it's beautiful. One of my big congresses, yearly World Anti-Aging Congresses, as always, is in Monte Carlo.
So you do not mind going. Faithful attender.
No, yes. Okay. Yeah, so absolutely. This is a beautiful area we live in. So much in one space. It's a nice microclimate. It's a beautiful ocean side with nice little towns, each one so unique and different. You can drive from Avila Beach to Morro Bay and you're in a completely different environment, and it's uniquely beautiful, each one place.
Micro communities and microclimates that we like to say.
Yes.
And it's so true. It could be 69 degrees in Morro Bay. It could be 102 up in Paso Robles.
Exactly.
With about three or four other temperature ranges in between.
Exactly. I live in San Luis Obispo, and I drive to Avila Beach every day, and the temperature drop can be 10 degrees, and it can go either direction, up and down. We never can predict it. It all depends on marine layer and where the wind blowing. And it's a beautiful, there's that commute when I tell to my friends in LA that I was stuck in traffic for 30 seconds. They love it.
That's a funny story, but not bad. Did you get to know Archie McLaren, the gentleman that ran the Central Coast Wine Classic, and he lived up on the hill in Avila Beach in that multicolored house?
I never met the gentleman.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
No,
do you know about the house in Avila Beach up on the hill?
Yes, I saw the house.
He was the founder of the Central Coast Wine Classic. He passed, but he was a very colorful person in Avila Beach, brought a lot of character. And so I had just wondered if maybe you had met at some time.
I haven't met him, but I saw the house. And the reason I saw the house, the only reason I was looking at the house of that size and price range is because of my future development. You know, next step of the Lapidus clinic will be destination clinic. And we're already starting to team up with the local hotels to bring medical tourists. Not only from US, but from Europe, where medical tourism is very, very popular. So when you go on vacation, you're not just staying in a hotel with a beautiful environment like ours, with wineries and great restaurants and beautiful nightlife. But you also benefit the most of it by having medical team and maybe climate therapy. That's the term in Europe, climate therapy, when you benefit from the water and be natural resources like mineral springs, of Sycamore Mineral Springs.
Oh, yeah. And forest, what do they call that when you go in the forest and you bathe, forest bathing?
Right.
Where you take that in. People are starting to get very much in touch as that, not just a little vacation, but a major part of their life.
Correct.
They come and experience it and want to take that home.
And Destination Clinic is opening September 1st. And our first location will be Sycamore Spring, Mineral Spring Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Well, we talked about microclimates. How about microcurrent? Frequency-specific microcurrent is one of the things you guys do out there. What is that, the benefits of that? Heal certain tissues? And
any tissue has a specific frequency. We know that through research in neurophysiology. That research started in Europe many, many years ago, actually a century ago, and then continued. And we always were curious, if we bring tissue in balance by bringing that vibration back where it's supposed to be, what will it do to the tissue? So that's what frequency-specific microcurrent is. We grab a tissue attention with specific frequency, and we're able to do therapeutic current in that tissue for better energy production. You can increase the ATP or energy production in the tissue by doing that therapy by 500%. And you can regenerate the tissue faster, let's say, injury or inflammation or loss of function. So in our clinic, we have whole neurotherapy department. That's where we do the testing with 19-lead EEG. I have with a very professional and experienced Jane Rutledge. Mm-hmm. She works with me because I'm lucky. But she also works with a big center where NFL players being treated for post-concussion syndrome in Oxnard. And Jane is certified in frequency-specific microcurrent, and she's certified in neurofeedback. Of course, just me, I won't be able to do everything is in my brochures and on my website.
Yeah, that's a lot.
When I took a tour of your clinic, I walked in just as she was hooking up a young person to those different electrodes for that testing.
Right.
Dr. Lapidus, I'm looking here at the beautiful brochure, Unique Concierge Practice for Improved Health and Longevity, and it says here, currently finishing postgraduate studies at Stanford for Genetics and Genomics. Tell us a little bit about that studying that you're doing right now.
Well, genetics and genomics is developing area of medicine when we talk about personal and precision medicine.
Okay.
I have a very big interest in genetically driven medication use. So when we use a medication, I know that it's not going to cause a side effect and it's going to be effective.
Because you have that specific information about the genomes.
You can.
And that person's background, specific history.
Right. You can do genetic testing, and there is a companies which are Medicare and FDA approved to do such testing. Not all of them. But that's why I started with Stanford, just to make my knowledge a little bit deeper and refresh what I learned in medical school. And of course, science since then, which was more than 20 years ago, advanced.
And of course, Stanford is one of the best cutting edge leading universities. I have a friend that's a veteran, and he had a certain diagnosis at the Veterans Clinic. And he insisted that he go to Stanford, and he did, and he got a second opinion. And it was so much better, so much more precise than what he had originally gotten.
Right.
And it just speaks about the quality level of medicine at Stanford.
Right.
So do you travel up there for some classes as part of
this
training?
I take it online, which my son has a kick out of it, because there's a Stanford lab which you can do online. And for genetics, there's a, you know, you do tests on the Drosophila flies. So they actually some days Nick entering the room and I'm sitting there and it's buzzing and what's going on? I'm like, my flies just flew out of the can. It's a 3D.
It's a new day.
Computer.
New day. That's funny.
Yes, but the whole study at Stanford led me to my concept of personalized medicine for healthy longevity. So we do pharmacogenetic testing for people when I need to prescribe a medication which can harm them. Mm. Let's say something which can cause a bleeding if it works. Mm-hmm. Incorrectly.
Counterproductive. Yeah.
Right, anticoagulants. Or when we're talking about certain chemotherapy drugs, then I work with oncologists in the patients with cancers. Or when there's a multitude of a drug, then I have a patient who coming to me bringing suitcase of medications they take on a daily basis. And I know we will have to downsize. But I also know I need 2 or 3 medications still to be on board to control the disease, and I need to know that they're going to work effectively and they're not going to harm. So I work with Coriell Institute, and I work with the Gene Trait Laboratory for that, which provides me almost like an artificial intelligence type of app managing your genes versus your medication, and allow me to find better alternative for you, which also can be more cost effective. Mm-hmm. And it's just fascinating technology. I love it. But that's true personalized medicine.
So in trends, my family, for instance, I got to know 3 of my grandparents really, really well. They all lived late 80s, mid 90s. I got to know my great-grandfather lived till he was 96. Only one of my relatives died when he was 48, and so I try to lean in to the parts of the gene pool that have all the longevity. Do you see patterns of either both, like a lot of maybe dysfunction and maybe somebody in a family living a long time, or many people in a family with the outliers not living long? Do you see patterns like
that? We see patterns all the time, and we know why those patterns are there, and science supports it. But there's also that unexplained beauty of blue zones throughout the world where people are living long lives and we don't know why, and we look at their genes and we look at the diet and we look at everything. But what comes in the end, and this is in the books I recommended from Dr. Longo and Dr. Gundry, mm-hmm. in the end of it, it's a combination of factors. You can have the most beautiful genetic pool, but if you take it for granted and don't respect it and smoke and drink too much and don't sleep and live in a stressful life, it's not going to protect you. But you can have some genes which you can silence. You know, you can have Alzheimer's gene and diabetes gene and never develop the disease. So that's why I'm there. I can look into that. I can predict certain things by looking at what we know and provide you with my advice of what I know.
This has been really fascinating today because not only have you brought your experience, your background, you've talked about the patient's benefits, but you've also talked about some of your peers, some of your mentors, people that you respect. And we'll go ahead and put this in the notes for the Slow Good Life. We'll get those details from you so people can look that up.
I did want to ask about prescription drugs in general. I mean, you know, the way you're practicing medicine is a unique, and in my opinion, the way that a lot of medicine across this country should be performed. But there is an over-prescription epidemic in this country.
Sadly.
And what do you think can be done to combat that? I know the pharmaceutical companies have all kinds of dollars up in Washington, lobbyists and such. What do you think can be done to change the approach in the years that come?
Education. Mm. Education. We need to educate our patients. We need to have more patients advocates. Everybody should know you always can have a second opinion. Mm. Each doctor practices the way they practice from what they learn. Some doctors stop learning at the medical school and just use easy approach of prescription. Is much harder to reverse disease. In our clinics, we look at the root cause, what caused the disease. You eliminate that cause, you don't need a prescription drug. We never prescribe unless it's emergency. I have a nutraceutical store in my practice where I work with GMP, good manufacturing practices, mm-hmm. supplements and companies. Mm-hmm. We support clear organic CBD for pain control. I have behavioral therapy. There's opioid epidemics, mm-hmm. no questions. I prescribe something on a specialty script for scheduled for drugs maybe once in 3 months. You know, when it's a surgical pain and it needs to be addressed. We know how to help with pain and frequency-specific microcurrent, neurofeedback, behavioral therapy, dietary therapy, nutraceuticals can be used very effectively, and we are successful. Yes, I agree. It's a big, big epidemic, and we need to educate our patients that there's options. Options.
And you welcome the sense that I get, Dr. Lapidus, in your practice. You welcome people to bring questions, to say, what about this? Because the communication, you're not going to be able to do a full assessment unless there's communication, bringing all the information up. So questions are actually friends.
Yes.
They're actually telltale. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the beginning, when I started, my patient didn't know me as well. They would say, sorry, doctor, I have a list. And I say, oh, thank you. You organize it for me. I love your list. Let's just go question by question. I have 1 hour with each patient who is a new patient for me, or if they require that 1 hour. Today, my day was 5 patients. I started at 10, wow. and I finished right before the show.
Okay.
And I love what I do. I love the practice and environment. And it's just
I can tell that. I can tell that. I think it would be really good. We move our studio to San Luis Obispo. I think it'd be really good to bring you in every week and maybe take some callers. And I think carrying on the conversation is fascinating. And I could just imagine the questions that people are formulating because medical practice is just that. It's practice and it's all over the page. There's been a lot of pressures.
Right.
And so I think people are looking for some answers. They're looking for a better experience. And so this has been fascinating. Thank you for being our guest this afternoon on The Slow Good Life, Dr. Lapidus.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you so much.
A pleasure, and I am so happy to be part of your show and part of our slow community life.
Absolutely.
Make sure you go to slowtlc.com.
That's it, .com. Yeah, okay. That's pretty simple. Slow TLC. And, of course, TLC stands for the Lapidus Clinic.
And tender loving
care. But it also expresses tender loving care. Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Lapidus.
My pleasure.
This episode of The Slow Good Life is brought to you by Dr. Yolanda Lapidus and the Lapidus Clinic, providing concierge medical services for the California Central Coast. With medical offices located in Avila Beach, California, check them out online at slotlc.com and at Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Or call them today at area code 805-549-4825.